Hey folks, welcome back to the Honors Element. Ben Lear here, as always. And before we dig into those infamous solubility calculations, let's set the stage. What do we really mean when we say something is soluble in water?
Yeah, I love starting here. A lot of people think solubility is just, hey, it dissolved. But it's actually all about limits. You add a little salt to water, stir, and it goes away. Add more, repeat. Eventually, you hit this point where no matter how long you stir, you see that stubborn pile of salt at the bottom. That's your solubility limit, the equilibrium concentration, right?
Exactly. The fancy definition, solubility is the maximum concentration of solute that will dissolve in a solvent at a fixed temperature and pressure where everything's hit equilibrium. For sodium chloride, that means there's this tug of war going on, some nacial dissolving, some rejoining the crystal. So even though it looks like nothing is happening, ions are constantly moving both ways.
Yep, the solution is saturated. If you're below that point, it's unsaturated. You could add more and it would disappear. And if you manage to get more dissolved than should be possible at equilibrium, and that's a little tricky, by the way, you've made a supersaturated solution. Those are unstable. And even a tiny tap can make everything crash out as a solid. Now, let's zoom in on salts that are barely soluble. They just dissolve enough to matter, but not so much that they disappear entirely. These are where things get juicy with equilibrium.
Yeah, this is where KSP, or solubility product, shows up. So take something like silver chloride. You plop it in water, and it sets up this equilibrium where silver chloride is a solid, and it turns into silver plus and chloride minus ions. But really, the reaction is solid silver chloride equilibrates with silver plus aqueous plus chloride minus aqueous. The solubility product expression is just the product of their concentrations. KSP equals the concentration of silver plus times the concentration of chloride minus.
Right. And it's important to note, solid silver chloride doesn't show up in the KSP expression. It is just the ions. And at 25 degrees C, for silver chloride, KSP is super tiny, about 1.6 x 10 10. That means really low solubility. Using this, you can actually calculate how much silver plus and chloride minus will be in a saturated solution. For every mole of silver chloride that dissolves, you get one mole of each ion, then solve S for solubility, squared equals KSP.
Which makes the solubility, if you work it out, around 1.3 x 10 5 molar. That tells you just how little can dissolve in pure water. But what about a compound like calcium fluoride? There, the stoichiometry is different. Each mole dissolving gives you one calcium plus and two fluoride minus ions. When you set up the KSP, you need to account for that stoichiometry by squaring the fluoride minus concentration.
But when doing these calculations, as we described, all of this is under the assumption that nothing else weird is happening in solution, like side reactions or non-ideal ion pairing.
By the way, all those tables of KSP values, always check the temperature. KSP can change a lot if things heat up or cool down. So for practical purposes, keep your eye on what temperature your problem's at when you do these calculations. Although most of the time, it will be room temperature.
Absolutely. And if you're running through these problems, keep in mind how the ratios change if your formula unit spits out more of one ion than the other. Stoichiometry always sneaks in somewhere. But here's where it gets really interesting. Let's say you try dissolving sodium chloride in water that already has some chloride minus. What actually happens?
You get what's called the common ion effect. Basically, if you add a salt that shares an ion, like sodium chloride giving you more chloride minus, you push the equilibrium toward forming more solid silver chloride. Practically, if you try to dissolve silver chloride in a 0.100 molar sodium chloride solution, so much chloride minus is already there that hardly any silver plus can coexist.
No kidding. Actually, that's about a factor of 8,000 less than dissolving in pure water. However, it's a great trick if you're trying to force precipitation in a lab, like purifying silver ions, or intentionally crashing something out to collect it, or even in water treatment where you want to remove dissolved metals.
And it connects right back to Le Chatelier's principle. If you add more of something the system already has enough of, it'll push back. You know, this has real consequences outside the flask, too. Think about buildings getting damaged by acid rain, like you see with limestone and marble. A change in the dissolved ions, like a lower pH, can suddenly make normally insoluble minerals dissolve.
Totally. For a lot of hydroxides and carbonates, pH really impacts solubility, because H+ can react with either, shifting equilibria and letting more solid dissolve. So, tinkering with pH or adding seemingly random salts, those dissolved ions can really tune how much of a solid can stick around in water. It's not always intuitive.
And we only scratched the surface here. Next time, we'll dig deeper into how pH and side reactions change the game for solubility, especially in real-world systems. Morgan, always a blast getting into the weeds with you.
Same, Ben. All right, everyone. Keep those questions coming. Check out your textbook's KSP tables and do some practice. And we'll see you next episode. Take care, Ben.
See you, Morgan. Bye, everyone.